Well, it took more than 40 days, but the government shutdown did officially end. I mean, I think we're still going to see a lot of aftermath from that in many different ways. Probably the biggest sticking point, which was the biggest reason why it took so long for the government shutdown to end, had to do with Obamacare, with Affordable Care Act. And this bill does not include extending those subsidies even for a year or even to just get through this open enrollment period. It was one of the biggest reasons why, again, there was so much division over this. And despite, again, the bill getting passed, I think it was 222 to 209, all of the Connecticut members of the U.S. House voted against this bill, including Congressman Jim Himes, who joins us now. Congressman Himes, thank you for coming on. I know this was certainly last minute. I know you had a very busy day in Washington. Are you still there now?
Yeah, I'll be headed back to Connecticut later on today, Melissa. But yeah, I was down with the rest of them last night to cast this vote, which ultimately is going to result in the reopening of the government.
Okay. So I appreciate you coming on. Again, it wasn't planned, but I do appreciate you popping on because obviously we need to discuss this. So am I right in saying that the big thing here is obviously the Affordable Care Act, whether people like it or they don't? There's nothing in this bill that would extend those subsidies, essentially. So people should be, when they're doing open enrollment right now, they should just be assuming that they're probably not going to get the subsidies they might have before. Not everyone, but a lot of people, especially in Fairfield County.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you are right. There's nothing that guarantees the renewal of those subsidies. There is a provision in the law which requires the Senate to take a vote, but that's still a long way from reestablishing those subsidies. Why? Because, you know, no telling how that vote turns out in the Senate. And of course, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has not promised a vote in the House, which would be required to do it. So, yeah, I'm sorry to say this because, and I'm sure you've heard from people just as I have, you know, the expiration of these subsidies has really hit our area very hard. Mm-hmm. We're one of the top five congressional districts in the country with respect to people seeing their premium go up as a result of the expiration of these subsidies. I talked to a couple in Ridgefield. I went up and saw them. Actually, they're a retired couple, recently retired couple, not quite old enough to be on Medicare, you know, because they're 62. You got to be 65 to get on Medicare. Their premiums, I saw their bill, their premiums went from $900 to $4,000 a
yep.
month. I mean, it's almost inconceivable to say it, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's shocking.
So it's crazy because, and I want to make sure people know I'm coming from a place where, and I think I've told you this before, Congressman Himes, but my father has a brokerage in Fairfield County, and he's a health insurance broker. My husband and my brother are actually partners with him there. And I was just there last night bringing them dinner because they're coming home super late. This has been the worst open enrollment that they've had in a very long time, mostly because of the uncertainty of the subsidies and all of that. So I was looking at just an example, very much like what you're talking about. My brother kind of gave me just an idea. Again, didn't give me the couple's name or anything. He just gave me an idea of if you're making $90,000 in Fairfield County and you have a couple in their 60s, what was a $559 Anthem plan per month just became $3,500. I mean, that is just it's just inconceivable. It's crazy. And that is
right.
That is a reality,
right.
You know,
and $3,500 a month is almost $40,000 a year on a $90,000 income. That just doesn't work. That's not possible. So we're in a world now where a good chunk of the American middle class can't afford to have health insurance with, you know, it's just mind boggling.
Well, and I think the thing that bothers me about this, Congressman Himes, is that here's the thing, and I'm going to be open about it. My father's brokerage has not been the biggest fan of the Affordable Care Act. When it first came into play, Obamacare was not actually something that they were 1,000% stoked about for Connecticut, just to be totally candid with you. However, the fact that we came down to a government shutdown and we couldn't extend these subsidies, at least in time for open enrollment, they're beside themselves. I mean, the fact that they're on the phone with especially Fairfield County residents telling them, like, we can't do anything for you. We can't find you a better plan. We can't. I mean, there are people now thinking, should we financially divorce just so that we could maybe beat the system? Should we be, you know, I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And I just think, you know, I haven't heard Like, it's fine. If you want to get rid of Obamacare, I guess fine. But then what is the solution here? I mean, to just have now a financial crisis and not even just say, hey, let's promise that, okay, we could extend the subsidies maybe for this open enrollment, but then it's being dismantled because of this, or we're going to do this instead. I've never heard that concrete. What is the replacement for Obamacare? What is the better solution? I've not heard that. I don't know if you have. But
yeah. And, you know, I mean, the conversation eventually has to get to a very different place than we are in right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds like your family didn't, as brokers, didn't love Obamacare. What did Obamacare do? Obamacare expanded coverage to about 20 million Americans, okay, by expanding Medicaid. And that's a good thing, right? But that was just basically providing subsidies like the subsidies we're talking about. Now, we're talking about exchange subsidies, not expanding Medicaid. But Obamacare expanded insurance to about 20 million Americans, and it did some other good things like saying, hey, if you're an insurance company, you don't get to turn somebody down because they have a pre-existing condition. You don't get to turn down a woman because she wants to have a child in the next 3 years. That's the old world, right? But anyway, my point is that we're not having the conversation that we have to have when we're talking about subsidies and Obamacare, mm-hmm. because the underlying truth here, which you never hear talked about, is that our healthcare system is now no longer affordable. It's 20% of our GDP, right? 20% of our economy is now healthcare. So that means, and it doesn't quite work this way, but one way to think about that is that, like, there is a world where, you know, 20% of your income goes to health insurance. And that's just madness.
And it's not even great insurance, by the way.
Not great insurance.
Just saying, by the way, but go on.
That's what you're going to see. I mean, here's the thing, right? And you're absolutely right. Let me tell you, let me put this back in political terms. You can say that the Democrats didn't fundamentally fix the system, and you'd be right. But the Democrats did cover many, many millions of Americans who didn't have coverage before. And that's worth doing, you know, because it means you save lives and people get their cancer treated. The Republicans, on the other hand, who have, you know, basically for almost 20 years said, let's get rid of this thing, they've never offered an alternative. So if we were serious about solving this problem, we would take a really hard look at the healthcare system and create a healthcare system that, you know, if nothing else, is like an afterthought for most people. I mean, most people walking around in Europe and in Canada, and by the way, those systems have their problems too. I'm not saying those are great systems, but they don't worry every single day about their healthcare. It's either provided by the government or they have an efficient system that means that they pay a reasonable amount. You know, we can have this political argument, as I suspect we will, till the cows come home. But until we fix this incredibly inefficient, incredibly expensive system, all we're doing is deciding who's going to pay for a completely inefficient system.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just it, Congressman Himes. I think that we've got a government shutdown, but it's over, and that's great. But is it fair to say that anybody who lives in Connecticut, who, again, was at least getting these subsidies before, I mean, they should be moving forward knowing that you're not getting your subsidy. I mean, is that fair to say? I mean, really logically, I mean, be real with me. Do you honestly think something will change before December 31st?
Do not count on it. Do not count on it. Now, what did the shutdown actually achieve? It didn't achieve if I'd been a senator, you know, deciding whether I was going to sort of vote with this thing in the Senate last Sunday, I would have said, you know what I want? I want at least a commitment to a vote in both houses. Let's put senators and members of Congress on record about where they are with these subsidies. Didn't get that. So, yes, the safe assumption is that it's not going to happen. But one thing the shutdown did do, and I tell you, I'm deeply conflicted about this because I think shutdowns are terrible political tools. They hurt a lot of people who shouldn't be hurt, but we can get into that if you want. But this highlighted the issue in a very big way. I don't think there's an American out there today who is not thinking about this. And God help me, the Epstein files, which is the other big story. But my point is that, you know, all of America today is saying, my God, we've got a real problem. So, yes, don't assume that this is going to get fixed because the party that controls the House, the Senate, and the White House doesn't appear interested in doing so. But at least, you know, there is now pressure on to provide some sort of solution.
I am curious, though, Congressman Himes, it's interesting that you said if there's, you know, any silver lining to a government shutdown, and this being the longest one in the history that we've had. Do you think there will be conversations about making sure when a government shutdown does happen, the right people are getting paid? Because we do have sort of a trickle down effect, as you've seen, with flights and air traffic controllers, TSA agents, people who just can't afford to do their jobs, let alone want to do the job when they're not getting paid. But we're still paying lawmakers, right? I mean, lawmakers in Washington still got paychecks. So do you feel like this at least made us look at saying, hey, if and when a government shutdown happens, we do a better job of at least making sure that the people who should be and need to be getting paid are?
Melissa, I feel really strongly about this. We shouldn't be trying to make for better government shutdowns or more efficient. We shouldn't be trying to manage government shutdowns. We should take government shutdowns off the table as a legislative tool. There's two things that the Congress does that makes me crazy. Number one is shutdowns, because, you know, that's just basically saying, you know, TSA agents aren't going to get paid. Aviation is going to get screwed up. There's risk that police officers and soldiers won't get paid unless we pass special bills to do that.
Right. You're using people as leverage. It's awful.
You're using people as leverage. Exactly. And that should not happen. In the Constitution, it does, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton didn't say, yeah, you know, well, when worst comes to worst, you can take a grenade out on the table that's going to put a whole lot of people and say, do what I want, or, you know, the government shuts down, or we don't pay our debt. I'm referring, of course, there to debt ceiling insanity. These two things are terrible because they're hostage situations. Now, you'd be right to say, well, how come the Democrats decided to use it in the service of the subsidies that we're talking about? And I would say, because the subsidies are that important, but let's take the tool off the table. You know, Ted Cruz shut the government down because he wanted to repeal Obamacare. Donald Trump shut the government down because he wanted to build his wall on the southern border. Please, 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 let's take this off the table as a tool of legislative achievement, right? Because this is not debate and then you vote and you either win or you lose. This is like, we're going to screw the country and make it so painful that you've got to come to the table. That's not negotiation. That's hostage taking. So I don't want to manage government shutdowns anymore. I want them to go away.
But and can way, they? Way, I mean, but can
one way to do that? This is going to sound a little crazy, but you said, can we make sure the right people get paid? One way to do that, of course, is to say, you know what? Fine. You want to shut down the government? We are truly shutting down the government, meaning Social Security checks don't get paid. Medicare shuts down. If we did that, if we said a true shutdown is a true shutdown, there would never be another shutdown again.
But I mean, I that's just it. It feels like it is very pick and choosy, like who gets paid, what goes out,
yeah.
What doesn't.
Let's not try to manage these things. Let's agree not to use them.
Yeah. But like, how plausible is that?
we'll see. I'm looking for, again, I'm very conscious of the fact that we've now, you know, shutdowns used to be like a Ted Cruz, Donald Trump thing. And this time the Democrats chose not to participate in the continuing resolution in order. So I'm very conscious of the fact that finally, you know, I often think that my party is the one that, you know, doesn't want to get down in the gutter. On this one, we did. And let's stop it. Let's please stop it, because this just shouldn't be a tool that the Congress uses to try to get what it wants. So anyway, we'll see. We'll see if there's any appetite for that.
All right. Well, Congressman Himes, again, I appreciate you coming on. I know it was last minute for you, long day for you, but I do appreciate you making the time for WICC. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Always enjoy talking. Take care.
All right. You too.